motion to 145, please?
Sorry, 9A.
Be glad.
turn over to Psalm 100. Sing it to the A selection.
Greetings in Jesus' name. How are you?
Good. Good. You know, I was singing that song with you, and there was something that left out here, and it was just the whole imagery of sheep. You know the sheep, right? Metaphorically, with sheep, you're a sheep. And I haven't spent a lot of time around sheep. I know some of you have. Some of you have had sheep farms. But I think we all know one thing about sheep, apart from the fact that they're so cute. They're not the brightest of animals, are they? They're not that intelligent, and they're also very susceptible to disease and to attack. And you know, I just thought, what a perfect picture of who we are, God's people, sheep, but looked after by the great shepherd. And even though we're vulnerable, and even though we're not incredibly wise, we can be so dull. Don't you find you can be so dull at times? You just don't understand so much. So much about who God is, so much about who you are, what you're doing. Do you ever find that? You're just so incredibly dull. You go to God in prayer, you just feel dull. What do I say to you? How do I speak to you? How do I walk with you? So many questions. So few answers. We have some answers, right? But we are so much like sheep, aren't we? We got the shepherd. We got this great shepherd who looks after us, who cares for us. His name is Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're coming to our shepherd. We're coming to Jesus Christ. We're coming to worship great shepherd of our souls. And that's privilege. The privilege. So come as sheep this morning. Come as sheep this morning. Yes. And let's lift up our voices to the King, the great shepherd of our church, the great shepherd of our souls. Bless his name this morning. Welcome to those of you who are visiting with us. We're glad you're here. We
trust that we're all here this morning to appear before our great shepherd and worship his name. Let's do that now. Let's stand and call on his name. Father in heaven, shepherd of Israel, we thank you for this, your Sabbath day. Thank you that you have brought us here. You brought us here for one reason, to delight ourselves in you. We thank you, Lord, for your shepherdly care over our lives. We thank you that we can join the psalmist and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not need anything. And Father, we pray this morning that if you would come, and that if you would allow us to draw near to you, and that we would know something of you, and discover great things. Father, we know that we would be blessed. And Lord, this alone we want. We want you. We want more of you in our lives. We want you now, Father. We want you, Holy Spirit. We want you, Jesus Christ. And so we pray that here this morning, in this place, and in our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would move among us. We are seeking your grace to be worshipers this morning. Father, we pray for that grace. Grant that we would lift up our hearts and our mouths on high. And forgive us our sins. And cleanse us of anything, Father, that would keep us from heartfelt worship this morning. Lord, we ask you to hear us as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Our opening psalm of praise this morning is Psalm 29, the 8th selection, Psalm 29a.
Oh, hear the God, all you sons of the mighty,
You want to turn your psalters to Psalm 1A. I want to sing that now. You know what Psalm 1A is about? Psalm 1. You know what that's about? Anybody? Anyone know?
About our walk
with God. That's right. Yeah. And two people are contrasting the Psalms. You know who they are? The righteous and the wicked. That's right. And the righteous, they don't consort with the wicked. I mean, they don't do the things that wicked people do, right? They keep their distance, at least morally. You know what I'm saying? Well, greatly blessed is the man who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinner's way, nor does he sit in the scorner's chair, but places his delight upon God's law, meditates day and night. You know, that's who you're to be. As the righteous of God, right? You don't behave like wicked people. You don't behave like the world. You don't do what they do. You're to be different. You're to be righteous. And the righteous person is the person who loves God's Word and says, you know, this is just so fantastic. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to be blessed by it. And I'm going to chew on it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to be changed by it. And he is. He's blessed. He's prospered. He's like a tree. Tree that grows up by the streams and bears fruit. He's fruitful. She's prosperous. Just completely blessed of God. Do you ever look at the world and think to yourself, wow, if just for one day it would be alright, it would be fun to do what the world does, and you know it's wrong. You ever think that? Just for one day. What does the world really have for us? What could it possibly give you? Look at their lives. Look at their lives. What do they got? Yesterday I helped a couple move a relative out of their apartment. The man was 70 years old. And I moved out a man's entire life. Boxes, videos, pictures, clothes. We took it down to Value Village. And we just dumped it in the back. A man's entire life. And I was so sad by that. You know, what does the world really have? What does it really have? I think personally it is worth it for us to be people who live distinctly and who pursue God and who live for God. Because you know, a day is coming when we're going to be separated from them. It says right there, doesn't it? In Psalm 1. In judgment therefore shall not stand such as ungodly are, nor in the assembly of the just shall wicked men appear. It's amazing what we find appealing in this life, isn't it? And if we could just, for this life, for this brief moment we call life, seek the grace we need to be different and to be distinct and to live godly lives, I think it's going to be worth it. What do you think? Because the way of godly men is to Jehovah known, whereas the way of wicked men shall quite be overthrown. The Lord knows who you are. He knows who the righteous are. And He'll bring His people home. We need to remember that. And we need to live in light of that. What do you think? I think so. Because that's the blessed man. That's the blessed woman. What do you think? Let's stand and sing it to His glory. And let these words connect in your heart this morning. Psalm 1A.
Oh, greatly blessed is the man.
Give to the Lord our tithes and our offerings. And I'll tell you why this is important, not only because God commands it, but you know that God doesn't command anything for His people that's not a blessing, right? So often we think of the duties that God lays on us, we think, what a drag, you know, it's interfering with my joy. But you know what? God never lays a duty on His people that is not designed to bring us delight. Do you believe that? And that somehow, as we give to the Lord, as we bring our offering, that this is a delight. It's a blessing to our souls. It is. Right? I mean, just think of it. You go to your taxes, and people look at your charitable donations, and they look at your income, and they think, what would possess you to give 10% of what you make? They can't figure it. They can't fathom it. Really. And that's just the minimum. We live in such a materialistic society. I think one of the best ways for us to combat the materialism of our age is to be a people who has open hands. You know? And where we love to give to God. We love to see the kingdom of God grow. We know that that happens financially through the giving of tithes and offerings. This is not a plea for your money this morning. It's not. But I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say to you that I believe that God commands a blessing upon those who give and give from the heart. I really believe. And I want you to be blessed this morning. I want you to be a blessing to each other. I want you to be free, especially in this day and age where it is all about money, right? And it's all about the next buck and about the next thing, about the next purchase, right? God just says, you know what, I want you to be free of that. I want you to be free to worship me and to live for me. Jesus said, don't worry about the things of this life, what you'll eat or what you'll wear. He said, you seek me first and my righteousness and all that, all those things that the Gentiles run about and chase after. Oh, I'll take care of those things for you. I'll give those things to you. Those aren't a big problem for me, God says. But what I want from you is your heart. You seek me first. My kingdom, my righteousness. This morning, God is freeing you. As you put that money into play, you just bless God. God, thank you that you're freeing me from this tyranny. I see so many people living under. Let's worship God as we present to Him our tithes and our offerings. Father, when your servant Peter watched the transfiguration of your Son, he said, it is good to be here. Father, we know what he means. It is good for us to be here this morning. It is good for us to draw near to you, be with you.
find all of our joy and our delight and our love. Father, this is a tremendous thing. We thank you, Lord, that you have made the way open to us, that we are free to come to you, that there is a throne of grace for your people. And Father, we come this morning. We come because you called us, and we come, Lord, because we long to be with you, and it is good to be here. And Father in heaven, we thank you for the way that you do care for us. We thank you for the way you provide for us. Thank you, Lord, that you put us here in this part of the world, and that we know a measure of life and of living, a quality that so few know in this world. And we know, Lord, that it was only because of your sovereign good pleasure that you put us where we are today. And Lord, that is a blessing. We thank you for the families that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the families that are formed. Father, we thank you for the way that you deal with us providentially, the way that you work in our hearts and our lives, even though so often we don't understand or perceive what it is that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing it anyways. We thank you that you are doing the good work of sanctifying us. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we would walk in step with your Spirit, that we would be more attuned with what you're doing, that we would be people who commune with you. People, Lord, for whom the greatest delight is simply being with you. Thank you. I thank you this morning for your people, the sheep of your pasture. Thank you, Lord, for the tremendous and rich gifts you've given here. The opportunities to serve one another, which we see. We thank you, Lord, for the love that we have here, the peace we know. We thank you for those sweet bonds of fellowship, Lord, that exist. And Lord, we are so thankful. We know that we are living in a place of blessing. We pray for those who are not well today. Those who can't be with us, those who are traveling, Lord, heal them, keep safe. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us as we travel along this life in this city. Lord, that as we live, people would see the love that we have. That would be evident. That people would see how we interact with the world. It led to wonder why it is that we act this way. Father, we pray that our hearts and our hands would amply demonstrate your grace to a world that does not know it. I pray for our sake. We ask that your salvation come to this place. Keep praying that, Lord. We keep seeking your face, Lord. We think of our friends and our neighbors and our family members. We don't know you. Our hearts break and we long to know you. We can't imagine what it would be for them if they died for Christ. Father, have mercy on their souls. Father, give us grace to be ambassadors in the name of Jesus Christ for their soul's sake. Lord God, we pray this morning also as we conclude that we would be people who walk circumspectly in this life. That we would be people who hear your name. That we wouldn't be like those who run into the world and forsake everything that is good. Father, I pray that not one soul here today would ever do that. We pray that we would know only persevering in the saints. We pray, Lord, that if there are those this morning who are struggling along, that you would visit them with grace and lift them up and set them on the right path again. That you would restore them to yourself. Father, we thank you that you are our God, that we are your sheep, that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We pray, Lord, that that would affect us today, that you are. Lord, that we would draw near you, that we would know you more and more, that our hearts would be moved with love more and more for you. So hear us, we pray, Jesus. We love you.
We're going to sing again. This time we're going to sing Psalm 73, the C selection, Psalm 73C. Yet evermore I am with thee. Thou holdest me by my right hand, and thou, even thou, my guide shall be. Thy counsel shall my way command, and afterward in glory bright shalt thou receive me to thy sight. Fantastic. Psalm 73C, let's sing it to his glory. Morning, we're finally finishing up the Olivet Discourse, which we've been looking at for the past few weeks, and we come to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read this morning verses 31 to 46, and I'm looking forward to the time that we're going to be spending in the future as we conclude Matthew's Gospel, because we'll be entering into what's commonly known as the Passion of the Christ, and so that should be a blessing. But this morning we end the Olivet Discourse. We're looking at chapter 25, verses 31 to verse 46, and so let's just read on together. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, our one simple prayer this morning is that you will open up your word to us, that you will bless it to our hearts and to our lives. And Father, that it will change us and make a difference as we walk before you in this life. And Father, we pray that you will hear us as we pray these things. And we thank you for your word, which is a means of grace to us, a means to change and bless these lives that you've given to us. So, Father, hear us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. The other day, I was driving along the 407 en route to Brampton, and I really wasn't thinking about going to Brampton. While I was driving, I was doing what you can pretty much imagine you would be doing. I was watching the traffic. I was looking at the hawks that it collected on signposts and fences and whatnot. And, you know, actually, if you ever drive by the 407, if you're driving down that, there's just an amazing display of raptors at this time of the year. If you want to see red-tailed hawks, just travel down the 407 at this time of the year. It's amazing. And I was going over some Italian words that I just recently picked up. Did you know that nero means black? Verde means green. I was listening to Michael W. Smith. He was with us, and at least his music was. And just thinking about my message, and just you know, thinking about anything really and everything except Brampton. And then I thought later, you know, that pretty much sums up the way that we live. You and I are going somewhere. We are en route to a destination. That destination is the great and final day of judgment, right? We're told in the Word of God that a day is coming when Jesus Christ will come back to judge the living and the dead. We're told that a day will come when heaven will be emptied of every angel, that they will follow Him, that He'll come like a comet, and that He will judge all the nations, every single person, the person right beside you, the person, you yourself will be judged. Everybody here will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged on that great day. And what's amazing, I think, is so often, where is our thinking? in light of the fact that we have this great day coming, where is our thinking? What do we think about? You know what we think about? We think about traffic and red-tailed hawks and Italian, don't we? We think about just about anything and everything except that day. Isn't that true? This week, how often did you think about the last great day? How many of you were thinking about that? You see what I mean? Which is strange. Because it's going to be the most glorious day of all human history. And here's where we're going. It's just so strange that we never think about it. That our mind is on any other thing. Don't you find that strange? I think this morning, I think in our lives, that we need to think more about that day. No more than that. I think that we need to live in light of that day, right? And this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to ready ourselves for that great day. We're going to make sure that we are there and that it's good for us, that this day turns out to be the greatest day of our lives. And the way we're going to get ready is this. We're going to look at three contrasting truths that are presented here by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's how we're going to get ready. The first contrasting truth is this. It's where He will set the righteous and the wicked. We're told He will separate them one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, He will set the sheep where? Where? On what hand? On His right hand. And where will He set the goats? On His left hand. I'm told that in Jesus' day, they used to routinely herd goats and sheep together. But because goats and sheep don't get along with each other, at the end of the day, the shepherd would put them in different pens so the sheep wouldn't get stressed. And Jesus is picking up on that image. He's saying that a day is coming when He will separate the righteous from the unrighteous, which the sheep and the goats respectively symbolize. A day will come when God will put the righteous on the right and the unrighteous will be put on the left-hand side. Which is an amazing thing, because in this life, how do we often separate people? What are the divisions? What are the categories? We think of poor. We think of rich. We think of beautiful people and common people. We think of educated and uneducated. But you know what? None of those divisions will amount to anything on the last great day. The only two divisions will be this. The sanctified and the unsanctified, the saints and the sinners, the righteous and the unrighteous. Every other division will just fade away. Do you believe that? It's true. Jesus says that the righteous will go on the right and the unrighteous will go on the left-hand side. In this life, you and I graze with goats. In this life, we are not separated from unbelievers. In this life, we're not allowed to separate ourselves from unbelievers. In this life, we cannot separate ourselves from unbelievers. We don't ultimately know who is a goat and who is a sheep. There are some sheep who look kind of goat-like, isn't that true? And some goats who look somewhat sheep-like. We're not able, ultimately, to separate ourselves from them. But you know what? Jesus says a day is coming when He will separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And the righteous will go to the right-hand side. And that's a picture of honor and distinction. And the unrighteous go to the left-hand side, which is a picture of shame and dishonor in the Bible. And that will be how He sets them apart. That will be the great separation. Psalm 1 verse 5 says this. We sang it this morning. There's no way that a goat is ever going to be set on the right-hand side. The unrighteous will not stand with the righteous in the day of judgment. Isn't that true? And there's no way that any sheep is going to be set on the left-hand side. For the simple reason that the shepherd knows his sheep, right? John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me. So when Christ separates the righteous from the unrighteous, it will be an exact separation. There will be no goats where the sheep are or sheep where the goats are. It will be a perfect separation, which is wonderful. And I'll tell you why. Because in this life, you are dishonored as believers, aren't you, by the world? What does the world think of you? They may treat you with courtesy, but you know what? They think you're ridiculous, don't they? I mean, if you were to get in their minds and ask them, what do you really think about this Christian thing that I'm committed to? They would think you're the biggest goof. I mean, really. Chasing a fairy tale. Ludicrous. You hear how people talk of evangelicals. It's always with a sneer, isn't it? It's always with a sneer. They may treat you with courtesy at times, but you know what? They don't like you. Not ultimately. There's a war going on, right? There's a war going on. God put that war way back in the garden. Genesis what? 3:15. I'll put war between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. We're at war, friends. The world doesn't like you. And I think we need to get that into our minds. It doesn't like you. Here's how Paul puts it. Here's how he sums up the world's attitude towards you. Reviled, persecuted, defamed, made the filth of the earth, the offscouring of all things. Here's what the world thinks of you. Do you believe it? See, the world doesn't know who you are. It doesn't know who you are. The world cannot see the glory you possess as a children of God. It can't see it. What does it see? It looks at you the way that I see you this morning. I see you here. Maybe a little tired. This is a bit of a struggle this morning, and you've done your best to make yourselves look presentable, and you've done a fine job, by the way. But the point is that you really don't stick out all that much, and I hope you don't mind me saying that. Some days it's hard for me to see your glory. Some days it's hard for me to see my glory. The world does not see who you are, the glory you possess as a children of God. But you know what? Here's a great thing. A day's coming when Jesus Christ will put you on His right-hand side on the position of honor and dignity. And the whole wide world, the whole universe is going to be forced to acknowledge your honor and your glory that God has bestowed upon you as children of God. Isn't that amazing? Because right now they don't honor you. Right now they'll talk however they want around you. They'll take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain, and you just cringe, don't you? You just clamp down, and they don't care about parading their wickedness, do they? They just don't care who you are. They don't respect you. But you know what? A day is coming when they will be forced to acknowledge your honor and your glory and your greatness and your excellence, because you are excellent. Child of God, you are excellent. Psalm 16, Jesus says, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are what? They are the excellent ones in whom is my delight. You know what? It's not that I go through my life just, you know, desiring to be respected. But you know what? A day is going to come when who you are and the great thing that you are is finally going to be recognized. It's going to be revealed. There's going to be an apocalypse. There's going to be a pulling aside of the veil. And the whole universe is going to see just how great and wonderful you are. Imagine that. He just puts you on the right-hand side. These are the ones that I love and honor. Amazing. So there's a contrast between where He sets the righteous and the unrighteous. But there's a second contrasting truth. And it's this. It's what He will say to the righteous and to the unrighteous. How many of you have ever heard a judge's verdict before he pronounces it? You don't often get to hear that, do you? But in this passage, we get to hear Judge Jesus' verdict way before He pronounces it. We know exactly what He's going to say to the righteous and to the unrighteous. And here's what He's going to say to you, okay? We get to hear this ahead of time. Here's what you're going to hear. He says, come, you blessed of my Father. You know what that means? It means I welcome you. I invite you to myself. Right now, the invitation to come, it goes out to every single person in the world. But on that day, when Christ says, come to me, it's going to apply only to the elect, only to you, the people of God. Only you will be allowed to come near to Jesus Christ. You will be blessed of the Father. Does that frighten you? When you think of the day of judgment, does that freak you out? Do you get scared about that? You know, I think that we do. We're like the little boy, and Dad calls the boy upstairs, and the boy doesn't know what to expect from Dad, right? He's not sure, and I think that we often think of the day of judgment like that. It'll be a terrifying thing, a frightful thing. Don't we think that? You know what? It won't be for the people of God. It won't be. Because he says this, come you blessed of my Father. You see, the whole call, the whole summons is set in the context of what? Of grace. We will know that we're loved. We'll know that we're welcomed, warmly welcomed. Matthew Henry, imagining what Jesus Christ will say to his people on that day, says this, the blessed of the Father are the beloved of my soul that have been too long at a distance from me. Come now, come into my bosom, come into my arms, come into my dearest embraces. Can you imagine that? There won't be any fear, friends. True love casts out all fear of judgment. We'll hear those words, come, you blessed of my Father, and we will know that we are welcome. Totally welcome, totally wanted. And more than that, he will say this, come and inherit the kingdom of God, which is staggering. Because in this life, at best, you might get a few thousand dollars from whoever kicks the bucket. You might get homes. You might get golf clubs. You might get dishes you don't want. These are the inheritances that we get in this life, right? But you get a kingdom. Imagine that. What's bigger? What's greater than a kingdom? And Christ will say, come, inherit the kingdom. If that's not too much, there's more. And if you can't take it, tough. Because here's what Christ says. He says, inherit the kingdom prepared when? Before the foundation of the world. It's prepared for you before the foundation of the world. In other words, I made this with you in mind. I made this tailor-suited to blow away your wildest expectations. And when did I do it? Before the foundation of the world, which means this, friends, it ain't hanging on you, right? It's all about His grace. When we stand there and we hear those words, come on in and receive this inheritance, it's going to be all about Jesus. Because this thing was wrapped up before you were a twinkle in your dad's eyes, friends. Before the foundation of the whole world. And that's what He'll say to you. Come, my blessed. Blessed the Father. And receive the inheritance which I have prepared before the foundation of the world. That's what He'll say to the righteous. That's what He'll say to the righteous. And you want to know what, on what basis we get this benediction? You want to know what it is? You expect Jesus to lay a doctrine of justification by faith right now, don't you? That if you believe in Christ alone, that you will be declared right and you'll be welcome to receive all these things. But you know what? That's not what Christ says, is it? What does He say? How do we get this? What's the reason why He will declare such an amazing benediction on us? It's what you do. It's what you do. It's how you live. For Jesus says, what? I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came to me. That's why He'll declare that benediction on the last day. It's not that we're earning it. But you get this, friends. If our faith is alive and real and true, it will be an obedient faith. It will be a loving faith. If we say we got faith and we don't do anything with that, we don't help anybody, it ain't real faith, right? James says, if you say you got faith, and you see a poor brother and you do nothing for him, can that faith save you? It's dead faith. It's no faith. The kind of faith that saves is a faith that has legs and a heart and does something. And Jesus says that those who will be declared blessed will be those who treated Jesus with love in this world. And apparently there are going to be a few surprises on that last great day. Because we're going to say what? When did I see you a stranger and take you in? And when did I see you thirsty and give you a drink? And when did I see you hungry and give you food? And when did I see you in prison and go and visit you? I don't remember any of that. I don't remember a single thing. And Jesus will say, what? Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That is such a beautiful identification with the people of God. That's Jesus saying, I am one with my body, right? Remember how Paul found out the hard way? He was persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ, and Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus. He said to him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Me. Jesus says, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. To me. You think about that this morning. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many degrees you got. It doesn't matter how much you got in your bank account. It doesn't matter how famous you are. It doesn't matter how well respected you are. That stuff doesn't count on the last day. All that Christ says counts is this. What did you do for me? What did you do for the least of my brethren? Because you know what? It's really easy to do things for people that are easy to do those things for. It's not easy to do things for the least of my brethren, for people who are hurting and needy, people for whom when you do these things, you don't get celebrated. And it costs you. Jesus says, what you do for the least of my brethren, you do for me. You know what I think that means, friends? I think it means this. How you treat one another as believers is how you treat Jesus Christ. You think about that. How you treat each other is how you treat Jesus Christ. Remember I said that we need to live in light of this last great day? Here's what it is. It's going to a brother or a sister who's struggling and encouraging them. It's that phone call. It's that phone call. It's that card that contains more than paper in it. Right? It's welcoming people into our church. Being a friend to the friendless. It's getting off our butts and helping people. Loving the Church of Jesus Christ. And I know that you can do this. I see it. I see it. I see amazing love in this place. In fact, so much so that I have to be very careful how I joke with you. Because I know that if I were to jokingly ask any of you to clear out your bank account, you would do it. And I know that if I were to jokingly ask you to do anything for me and my family, you would let me do it. But you know what? I've got to encourage you all the more, friends. All the more to live in light that day. And to keep your eyes open. And to look around the body and say, what can I do? How can I serve? How can I be a blessing? What can I do for my brother, my sister, so that I'm ultimately doing it for Jesus Christ? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Jesus will declare you blessed, friends. But you know what?
He'll declare you blessed if you are serving and loving the people of God. Because what you do to them is what you do to Jesus Christ. And Christ will call you blessed. But you know what? He won't call everyone blessed, will he?
He's got a word for the unrighteous. And what is that word? What is that word? That word is this: depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his demons. It's the entire antithesis of what the believer gets, right? God says to the believer, come to me. What does he say to the wicked? Depart from me. What does he call the righteous? Blessed. What does he call the unrighteous? Cursed. What does he say to the believer? Come and inherit the inheritance prepared before the foundation of the world. What does he say to the unbeliever? What does he say? He says this: receive, inherit fire prepared for the devil and his demons. That's a frightening thing. Do you ever think of people, I mean, do you ever just look at them and you know they're not in Christ, and you just go down history and you think of where they're going to be? You think of them meeting with Christ and hearing this horrible malediction. I'm talking about the people that you mill around every day. People you know by name. They're your family members. They're your friends. And you know that if they die, that they will go to hell. Do you ever just think about them falling into hell and being separated from Jesus Christ and from the love of God forever? Can you imagine that? They lived this life thinking that the devil was a big joke. And yet, what did they get for eternity? Fellowship with Satan. In a place of indescribable torment forever and ever and ever. You know, when I hear words like the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, but it causes me to think good and hard about how I view the Church of Jesus Christ. And it just forces me to get my eyes off myself and open them up and look around. Because you know what? I don't know about you. I hope I know about you. I don't want his malediction on my life on the last great day. I don't want to hear those words. Get out of my sight and inherit fire prepared for the devil and his demons. I don't want that. I don't want that. But you know what? That is what he will say to those who did not care about the people of God. And because they didn't care about the people of God, they didn't care about Jesus Christ. Because what you did or what you did not do to the least of my brethren, you did not do for me. That horrible curse will fall upon such people. Remember when I said that we need to live in light of this day? Let these words confront you this morning. Let them challenge you. Are you loving the people of God? Or are you serving yourself? Are you living for self? There's going to be a world of difference between what Christ says to the righteous and the unrighteous. And that's a second contrasting truth. There's a third, and it's this: where he will send the righteous and the unrighteous. Where he will send the righteous and the unrighteous. We're told that the wicked, very simply, will go to everlasting punishment. This past week, I heard about a man who was convicted of stabbing a father of six. His sentence, 15 years in jail without the chance of parole. What do you think of that? Does that seem light to you? It seems light to me. It doesn't seem like anything at all. It is not justice. But my friend, the day is coming when Jesus will execute his justice upon the wicked, and it will be totally just. Totally just. We don't get that right now. When we think of people going to hell, what do we think? Oh no, how could that possibly be? That's a horrible thing. But you know what, friends? On that day, I believe this. We will rejoice when God's justice is vindicated and when all the wrongs done against Him are satisfied in the outpouring of His wrath upon the unelect. I believe that with all my heart. The wicked will go away to everlasting death, but not the righteous. The righteous, we're told, will go where? They'll be sent to everlasting life. Everlasting life. In this life, you're going to die, right? In this life, the chances are I might bury you if you're not at my funeral. The chances are we will together die before Christ comes back. You're going to die. But you know what? In Christ, you never die. Right? And death is but a servant to usher you into the presence of God forever. It is but a midwife for the people of God. And you know, when we die and when we rest in Christ, and as we wait for our bodies to be given to us, and as we wait for this last great day when we'll stand before Judge Jesus, Jesus will say to His people, "You are blessed of my Father. You come to me, and I give you everlasting life." Life as it was always meant to be lived. Not the life that we call life, but life so far above your wildest dreams and expectations that I don't have the resources to lay that out for you this morning. I don't know what that will be. I just know this, that God is good and it must be glorious, right? It must be superb. It must be wonderful. We'll get to Him and go, "Ah, yeah, that's what I couldn't see, but this is so good." And it will go on forever and ever and ever and ever, and it will never end. It will never end. And we'll be with Jesus. Right now, we're not with Him physically. We can't see Him. We live by faith. But then we will be with Him. Imagine that. Think of that. Think of Jesus Himself saying to you individually, you individually, come to me. Come to me. And you have His entire attention. And I give you life. Come and live with me forever. I think we need to live in light of that day. Yeah? I think that day needs to meet us here and impact our lives here and open up eyes that are so self-possessed and so self-occupied so much of the time and look around. How can I serve the body of Jesus Christ? What can I do? How can I help the struggling, needy brother, sister? What can I do? God, open my heart and let me be a blessing so that on that last day, what will be a surprise for me will be Your benediction on my life. I think we need to live in light of that day. What do you think? I think so. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that You will help this word to be a fellow companion as we travel along, that it would not travel far from us, that we would keep it near us, and we would be people who look for Your great benediction on the last day. We want to be blessed, Father. Help us to live out our faith by loving the body, and in doing so, loving You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. we're going to sing Psalm 145, which we began with this morning, earlier on, Psalm 145 in the C selection. Let's stand and conclude our worship. Bless you, keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace.